Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. This episode is going to be an interview with Eli Jones, and I had the privilege of marrying he and Allison a couple years back, and they went through the process of courtship before they got married, and that is an area that I think is important for all of us who are wanting to leave a legacy to understand and to draw our children into. And so we are going to do an interview with him about what it is to be in a courtship relationship, how it works, things he's learned through the process, resources that are available, that kind of thing. So it should be a good show for you. But before we listen to that, I want to make sure that you're following us on all the various resources that we have available, including our website. If you're not on the website regularly, I encourage you to do that. The best way to know of the updates is to actually register to get our email updates. And you will then get an email every time there's a new podcast, there's a change to the website, new resource, that kind of thing. You'll be notified through email. That way you don't have to check back regularly on it. And so be sure that you're registered there. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And like us on all of those. Share us so that others can learn about us and continue to grow the audience. The more that we have listening, the more we're able to get feedback, and by that feedback, I'm able to produce shows that are of content that is most beneficial to you, the listener. So be sure you do that, and I would love your feedback, too. You can give me feedback at steve@thelegacypodcast.com. That's the best way to reach me and the best way to give me feedback. Of course, you can give feedback through comments on each of the podcasts as well, and of course, you need to be registered to do that, but that's a great way to give me feedback as well. And then finally, if you like what you are hearing here on the Legacy Podcast and you want to support the show, I encourage you to become a Legacy Partner. Legacy Partners are a premium program, and with that, you are able to access our premium page, which has in it over $50 worth of value. A couple of, we've got a vendor on there who is offering a mapping program for your garden, and then I got a gardening worksheet in there that helps you design your garden, and then we've also got a page up there, a database that will help you to get out of debt fast through the debt snowball, and other items are coming soon, and so you can have access to all of those, and then you can also support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. The Legacy Partner Program is $30 a year or $3 a month. No obligation to continue after that, but it gives you access to it, and I would encourage you to be a part of the show.
Okay, I've got a great treat for us today on the Legacy Podcast. I've got on the line with me Eli Jones, and he is going to talk to us about an important issue for primarily the church and homeschoolers, but actually for everybody, and it's about courtship. So, Eli, welcome to the Legacy Podcast.
I'm glad to be here, Steve.
So, first of all, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Well, I am, like you said, I'm Eli Jones. I'm married to my wife, Allison. We've been married for about 3 years. It'll be 4 years in November. And we have two children, two girls, a two-year-old and a four-month-old. Esther is the two-year-old, and Charlotte is the four-month-old. So.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen Esther. She's probably getting quite a bit bigger now. In a while.
Yeah, she is. She's running around like crazy.
Exactly, I bet. Keeping you busy, no doubt. So there's probably a lot of people on the podcast who have never heard of the concept of courtship before. So do you want to just take a couple minutes and explain exactly what courtship is?
Sure. Courtship is basically a different aspect of pursuing the dating idea. More or less, it is a biblical approach to dating, or what the modern world would think of as dating. So instead of dating focuses a lot on the relationships of the teens or the people involved. It's more of like a friendship emotional process, whereas courtship is it approaches it totally differently. What it does is it takes the biblical principles of the role of the father of the daughter and the father of the son as shepherds of their home while those children still reside with them. And it gives them jurisdiction to help both the young man and the young woman pursue a wholesome relationship as they see whether or not they're even compatible for each other. And that is the purpose of courtship, because dating focuses on the emotions of things, and it's all about, you know, pleasure and the moment, which is, you know, a very unbiblical concept. And so what we have to focus on is what God would have for us, which is for us to stay pure in our hearts during the courtship process, and that we don't become corrupted by letting our emotions run away with us, so that we actually apply God's principles and approach this in a way that we can explore and understand each other, you know, emotionally and spiritually, without compromising who we are morally.
Great. Now, I was not a Christian, obviously, when I met my wife, so I knew nothing of courtship, and I went through the dating process, and my oldest son is getting to the point now where he is going to be pursuing a wife here in the next 5 years or so, and so obviously he is preparing himself to be a man who can court a wife. And I know that you went through the process of courtship yourself, and that's why I've got you on the line. And the way that I have seen the whole thing work out, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but there's really two aspects of courtship that are different than, there's probably a lot, but the two that I see is that it's more purposeful, in the sense that in a dating process, there might be, you know, somebody date just to go out to the movie and have somebody go out to the movie with and have no intentions of doing anything with that person or pursuing that relationship any further than the movie. They just want somebody to hang out with, and so they, you know, might go on a date with that person. So there's really not a lot of purpose behind, you know, dating versus courtship, whereas courtship, I mean, it's designed to see whether this person is going to be the right mate for you for life. Is that correct?
That is correct. Like I was saying, you know, dating focuses on the moment and the here and now, and just really it amplifies the lust of the flesh, as opposed to, you know, reigning in those things and finding the real meaning for.
Right. Okay, and then also the other area I saw was maybe with courtship, there's a lot more protection because you have a lot more involvement in you know, parental involvement from both sides in the whole issue. Whereas with dating, I mean, sometimes the father can, you know, inspect the man when he comes to date the daughter or whatever, but usually it's just kind of, okay, yeah, whatever, and they go on. Is that kind of what you see too?
I do. Well, the modern father is very absent. You know, manliness today is playing video games and going hunting. It's not, you know, protecting your family. And so biblically, the father is to be the spiritual head of his daughter, you know, until she is married. And through that, he can be a tremendous impact on making sure that she gets a godly man. And it's not, you know, like an arranged marriage or anything crazy. It's just a simple matter of the father, you know, taking care of his daughter. And the daughter should be more than willing to allow that to happen. I mean, that's her spiritual protector there. And, you know, any young man that is not willing to go through the father and, you know, what he desires, you know, for his daughter and what she has conveyed to him that she wants, you know, he's really not worth the time to even look at anyways, because he's clearly not there for biblical motives. He's there for something else.
Yeah, there's something suspect there if he's not willing to go through the scrutiny of the father. Definitely.
That's for sure, yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of covered what are some differences between dating and courtship. Tell me a little more specifically why it is you chose to court rather than to date.
Well, for me, I know as I was growing up, my parents taught me the value of marriage, and that marriage was for life, that it was a covenant and not a contract, that it was until death do you part, and, you know, not until divorce, like the modern American marriage. So I wanted to pursue a godly relationship, and I did not want to just run around and date every other girl that I found and just, you know, wreak havoc on your heart. Because when you date, and this is what affected me, when you date, you're basically preparing yourself for divorce, because you date, you break up, you date, you break up, you date, you break up, you date, you marry, you break up. You know, and that's it's a pattern that you establish for yourself there. And so that I wanted to avoid. And it's not that if you've dated, you're going to get a divorce if you get married, but it just establishes that pattern in your life. And that's something that I don't want to establish. And so what I pursued was the courtship model. And I know that what I desired was, you know, I went to the men of the church and asked for prayer and, you know, in regards to helping me find a wife and suggestions and concerns and, you know, everything. When you go through this route, you protect yourself. And it's not that I did everything perfectly, because you know, the Lord knows that my wife and I, you know, regret the different mistakes that we made along the way. But those mistakes, you know, will allow us to go put our children through an even better courtship and engagement process than we had. So the reason I pursued it and the reason my wife wanted to pursue it was because we felt that this was the biblical way that God had designed it. If you look in the Old Testament, fathers had a huge role and mothers had a huge role in the marriage relationships or pre-marriage relationships of their children. And that should not be any different today.
Okay. That you made me think of something that I wanted to ask you about too, and that is, how is the courtship and that model for marriage, how is that played out in the scriptures themselves? I know you've done some studies on that. Just I know you could go whole message on that, but just kind of give a synopsis of you know, what the picture is we see in the New Testament and the Old Testament of marriage and courtship, and how that relates to the process today.
Right. Well, you would see in the Old Testament, you would see the fathers, you know, play an active role telling their sons where to go, who to marry, what kind of women to marry, you know, who not to marry. And you would see rebellious children and God's punishment on them later by giving them rebellious wives. And reminds me a lot of, you know, Jacob and Esau and the problems that they had with their wives. And but in the New Testament, a beautiful picture is painted by Christ. You know, we are his bride. And so the entire process of Christ being here on the earth and dying and going to prepare a place, all that is a model for us to reflect. You know, while he was here, it was almost a courtship process. And now we're in the betrothal period where he goes and prepares a place. And that is biblical because it says the man is to go prepare his home. And then, you know, find a wife, prepare his work in the field, and then pursue a wife. And so that is the biblical model, and that is what the Lord is doing with us. He came, he pursued us, he courted us, he died for us, he made the sacrifice, you know, paid the bride price. Now he's preparing a place for us, and he will come and return and take us away for the marriage supper of the Lamb when we're joined together with him. So all throughout the Scripture, and of course, we see with Christ, he says that we were given to him by the Father. So even his Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, plays an active role in the bride of Christ. So throughout the entire Bible, again, like you said, it could be a whole sermon, but throughout it we constantly see, there's no place where we see God's blessing on men running out and just wreaking havoc in relationships without guidance from elders and parents. You know, we see the problems that Esau had. We see the problems that Solomon had in Ecclesiastes.
And Samson.
With Samson. I mean, countless times when we see the modern day model of just going out and finding the pretty girl and marrying her or dating her or whatever, you see problems in the scriptures when that happens. So,
right. You mentioned just now when you're talking about the New Testament model with Christ, you mentioned the different stages of courtship. Could you just quickly run those through again?
Sure. Basically, when you start a courtship, it is a time for the parents to supervise a questioning time, a investigation time for the young man and the young woman. So in a supervised, family-centered environment, they learn about each other. And we saw that with Christ as he was here with us, walking and talking with us, with his disciples. You know, he taught and ate with us, and, you know, that was the model there. And then from the courtship process is usually, should be relatively short. You should only do that as long as is needed to determine whether or not you're compatible, because the whole purpose, or well, not the whole purpose, but one of the major purposes of courtship is to avoid heart entanglements, you know, emotional bonding with someone who you might not even marry. So when you're in that family environment, you know, the emotions don't really run as rampant because all the fathers are sitting there, all the mothers, the brothers and sisters are sitting there maybe while you, you know, talk to this young woman about scriptural issues to see if you're theologically sound together. You've got to be equally yoked. You know, that's scriptural, and now that's the time to find out about it, that inquisition time. And then you move on from there. If things look good, you move on to a betrothal, because that's the whole purpose of courting, is to marry. If it doesn't work out, then you end it with the father, and no one leaves, hopefully, the worse for the wear. You know, everyone understands what the purpose of the courtship was for. If it does work out, you move on to betrothal. You seek the father's permission to marry, and obviously the Lord Jesus was sent here by his father for the purpose of finding a bride and paying the bride price with his life and bringing us into the fold. And so in the same way as it used to be, and you know, some fathers probably still require a bride price, but that was nothing that we did in our courtship or anything like that. But the principle is that the daughter is very valuable. The wife-to-be is very valuable, and the whole purpose of the courtship and betrothal period is the father of the daughter testing the man to see if he really values this girl. And he shows his valuing for the girl by refraining from all the physical contact that such frequently accompanies dating. And it pursues the spiritual aspects, the emotional protecting aspects of the courtship. And then after the betrothal period, you know, comes the marriage. And I honestly think that is the whole process should be not drawn out very long, because the longer you draw out betrothals and courtships, the longer emotions get entangled and the more temptation you leave for physical interaction that probably should not be before marriage.
Right. Yeah, and obviously once you get married, then you're able to learn the things that you weren't able to learn from brothers and fathers and things like that about your new bride and her about you. But you've built it on a strong foundation of purpose, a strong foundation of input from wiser counsel, and on harmony of spirit and soul, and not just body and emotion. So.
That's the thing.
You had mentioned also that you had learned a few things along the way. Could you tell me just a few of the things that you learned through your courtship process?
Absolutely. I think that just practical. There was a lot of practical things to be learned. I will do the courtship and engagement process with my two daughters, and their one day suitors totally differently than I did it. Just because I learned the process, you know, my parents and my wife's parents both were believers as adults. They did not do the courtship process themselves. They dated and became believers late in life. So this was a first generation kind of, you know, test run for us. So we were winging it, you know, trying to understand what we were supposed to be doing. And so we did learn a lot. And I think that some of the things that I know that we learned is that, for one thing, you should always, during the courtship process, I think it should be fast. Don't drag it out. And we did that. I think our courtship lasted about a month. And I think that worked out pretty well. You know, so it might require a longer time or a shorter time. Our families had known each other for a while, so there was fewer questions that we had to ask. But the whole point of that investigation period is making sure that you all agree on the things that matter for life. I mean, you're going to have to live with this woman for the rest of your life, and she with you. So you got to make sure that you're on, at least on the same groundwork, so that you'll be able to survive, you know, living with each other. I mean, that's the real basis. Everything else that doesn't really matter, that you can work out and compromise on and grow together on, comes later. Like you said, after marriage, you can learn more and more and grow with each other, and you can teach your wife, and she can you know, help you grow, and it's a beautiful time. But you, during that courtship, you got to establish the foundations. You don't get caught up in emotions and say, I just love her, she's beautiful, let me marry her. And then you find out that she's a Calvinist and you're an Arminianist and you're at each other's throat every day. You know, that's not optimal. You got to find out the basis of this stuff first, because our whole life revolves around Jesus Christ. And if we have totally different ways of approaching that, it's going to cause trouble in the marriage and in raising your children. You're going to raise them as a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic, or what are you going to raise them as if your wife is one and you're the other? So that's one huge thing. And then during the betrothal period, I think you should continue to either make that extremely short or always have chaperones with you. Again, I believe that it is best, I mean, even though you're promised to be married, to maintain the physical relationship for after you're married. Even if it's, you know, maybe as simple as holding hands or kissing or whatever, you know, people can have different standards in that area. But I think if you can wait for all of that until after you're married, that would be best and beautiful. And, you know, so I think having a short engagement period so that emotions aren't strung out and room for evil and temptation to enter in, it prevents that. So those are the couple tips I would give to parents for sure.
Yeah, that's great. What advice would you give to the parent who's listening, who's got maybe a preteen or a teenage child, and you know, they are coming to this whole concept of homeschooling and courtship and all that as brand new, and you know, their children are surrounded by other children who are dating. What advice would you give to those parents to, you know, try to encourage the children to pursue a different course?
Well, I think that some of the best things to do is just for these parents to build a desire in the hearts of the children, you know, for their sons, tell their sons the importance of marriage, that is God's mandate for us, is to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's his mandate for mankind. And to do that requires marriage. And you got to do marriage right or it's going to fail. So to instill in the sons the need to go out and get a job and get that home ready for his wife to be, and be ready to take the sometimes agonizing road, not the easy dating, you know, stars and heart way to relationships that ends in disaster, but, you know, trek the hard path now so that life will be easy for you later. And for the daughters, you know, teach them to submit to the wills of their fathers, you know, as they will their husbands, because the way that the girl treats her father oftentimes reflects how she's going to treat her husband. So instill in that desire for her to listen to her father and be willing to be guided by him during the courtship process and take his judgment. He's gone through it before, and he's married, so he definitely has a better handle on it than she does. You know, so those things are great to instill in them. And I know for us, and you may want to, you know, cover this later, I don't know, but I'm just going to throw it out there now, a great website that has a really, really good document that my wife and I used is familyshepherd.wordpress.com, and on there is God's Design for Scriptural Romance by John Thompson. There's some great questions and guidance in there that you can ask your future husband-to-be or wife-to-be. Great. That's what my wife and I used as kind of a roadmap. And John Thompson is a really great guy. I don't agree with him on everything. It's rare I agree with anybody on everything. But, you know, his stuff is really great. And it's a part one and part two, God's Design for Scriptural Romance, on familyshepherd.wordpress.com. And that is, we printed that off, and I think I wore the pages out flipping through that thing. So that's something I would definitely recommend.
Okay, great. And I'll put a link in the show notes to that. And then are there any other, like, resources, books, that kind of thing that that would be helpful to somebody who's contemplating the issue of courtship?
I know that Vision Forum Ministries, visionforum.com and visionforum.org, they have a lot of great CDs and books that cover this topic of courtship, marriage, the importance of manhood, womanhood. Just great guidance. That ministry has, I know, shepherded my family a lot as before I was married and now afterwards. So I would highly recommend Vision Forum Ministries. Also, it's expensive, But you might be able to find some of their resources on the internet, maybe on Amazon. But the Institute and Basic Life Principles has very good basic spiritual principles that will guide you during the courtship process. Again, there's a lot of other stuff that they teach, some of which I don't agree with, but those principles of courtship and what you're trying to accomplish and how it relates to Christ and us as his bride is really good with them as well. But so those are a couple resources I would look at.
Okay, great. And if people want to know more about you and what you do now, is there a website or Facebook or something like that that they could link up with you on?
Sure. My Facebook page is something I'm trying to develop now, but you can go to facebook.com, and it's under Eli Jones Rant, R-A-N-T. It's kind of like a political page that I have, but you can link, my wife is on there as a friend of mine, and so you can link up with us on there. That's Facebook, Eli Jones Rant.
Okay, very good. Well, that's pretty much all the questions I have. Did you have anything else, final statement you wanted to give, maybe words of encouragement or something like that to the listeners about courtship and marriage in general?
Absolutely. One thing I would love to say, especially for the young men and women who may be listening to this, do not be discouraged. I know I felt like I was never going to find a wife who would be willing to do all of this courtship stuff and believe the way I believe. And I'm sure my wife has shared with me she felt the same way about a husband. And I can assure you that God is sovereign, and he will bring you a wife or a husband, whatever the case may be, in his good time. Do not compromise and do not settle for something that God does not want because you're desperate and you got those hormones going or whatever it may be. You know, wait on the Lord, and he will definitely guide your steps.
Well, that's some good advice, Eli. You know, I just thought of another question, though, and I hate to add another question after you've ended on that. That's perfect, but I got thinking about this. What would you advise, you know, the young woman or the young man who are already, you know, they've come to the realization, maybe they just become Christians, or maybe they come to the realization that, you know, courtship is the way to go. They're single, they're outside the home, and that, you know, they're already kind of independent lives, or maybe, you know, the woman has, you know, gone off to college and come to some of these realizations, and the parents are no longer really in the picture anymore. What kind of advice would you give to that couple who want to have some kind of protection and purposeful relationship when they get together?
I would recommend, if possible, get the parents involved again. Go back to the father and say, you know, go to her father if you're the young man and say, sir, I would like you to be actively involved in a courtship with your daughter. And if he is not willing to do it, maybe if he's an unbeliever or whatever, go to the elders of your church. You know, find a godly church. There will be godly men there who will be more than happy to ensure that, you know, morality is maintained in the relationship. You know, meet there. I know a man who just visited a church. He's a middle-aged man, and he just visited a church for the purpose of finding a wife, and he was supervised by a family there and stayed with them as he communicated with the woman. You know, no matter what age you are or what the situation is, there will always be a godly man somewhere and a woman, if need be, to preside over a relationship, courtship time like that. But don't go it alone, because we are sinners and we are morally corrupt in our hearts. The Bible says that. And, you know, it's very hard to maintain a moral standard when your brain is out the window because you're in love with someone. So I would definitely recommend they pursue a godly elder or something like that. If their parents will not be involved, then pursue a godly elder in a church that could preside over the situation.
Right. That is definitely sound advice. And, you know, your word that God is in control, and that when we try to take things into our own hands, or we compromise because we lose faith in his sovereignty, that's when we err. And so I think that's a good place to end, that God is sovereign. He will work out his plan accordingly as long as we are. Well, he will, no matter whether we cooperate or not, but when we cooperate, it's best for everybody. And that's great. Right. Eli, I really appreciate you taking your time. I know you got two young babies there to take care of and a wife, and I appreciate your time to be on the Legacy Podcast.
Well, sir, I appreciate you having me, and God bless you and your family.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And with that note, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?